Morning. It's so good to be together on this Lord's Day morning as we jump into a series that it's been a while since we've engaged with, and I'm excited to engage with the Ask series next week and this week, but I want to start out by telling you something that's been happening in my life. About 4 months ago, I did something kind of made me feel a little ridiculous. I walked into a martial arts studio as a complete beginner, and Thursday, if everything goes the way I plan, I hope, I'll be testing and get my yellow belt, which means that right now I am proudly wearing this, the prestigious white belt. You know what you have to do to get this? Walk in from the street. You know nothing at all. You can't get a big head when you have a white belt on. You know, everybody helps you. Everybody knows that you don't know anything. I even had to memorize this thing that I have to recite on Thursday about how a white belt stage symbolizes purity with no knowledge as a newborn babe. A newborn baby. Nobody expects much from a baby. And like a baby, you have this posture of readiness to learn. You don't expect to know everything. Nobody expects you to know anything. You walk in realizing my whole goal is to build up from here, to learn. They speak a different language in the studio. They speak Korean. I don't know Korean. They're counting in Korean. They're telling you what to do in Korean. You have to learn what's going on, and somebody has to show you how to stand and how to move and how to do everything. And you practice it and get it wrong, and you ask questions, and you keep trying, and eventually what was awkward starts to be muscle memory, starts to be something you get. And I think sometimes we forget that we're allowed to be learners when we open our Bibles. In fact, it's encouraged. We're supposed to be there to say, there's a lot I don't know. We might think, I've been a Christian a long time, I should know this. Or we hear somebody connect all these passages or talk about original languages or some complicated doctrine, and we think, I could never do that. But one of the best thoughts you can have when you open your Bible is this: I don't know yet. Teach me. So this Ask series, we encourage anybody that wants to turn in questions. You can give them to me. You can put them in the box out there. You can submit them on our website, however you want to get them to us. Or you can give them to our elders and say, hey, I would like the elders to answer this. We did that once. I think we're probably going to do that again sometime. No commitment yet. But if you have a question, love to hear it. And this one is about Bible study. So here's the question I received. How do I dig deeper into the scriptures when studying the Word of God? And the note came with a little handwritten bit. I'll show you in a minute, but I want to focus on that handwritten bit and on these two words for our lesson: dig and deeper when we think about Bible study. And then, so here's the actual question, and notice the little handwritten bit over to the side. Example, please. I love that. I love that bit because it says, I want more show and less tell, Ryan. let me know how to actually do this. This is practical. This person doesn't need a sermon on Bible study is good. They get that. I think most of us get that, right? Bible study is good. What we want is a little bit of strategy and insight from the scriptures and from experience on how do I get into the Word deeper. And I got to say, I was super excited about this question because this, you know how it is when you are asked to talk about something you love. Ask Riley to talk about rock climbing, right? Ask Louie to talk about woodworking, or, you know, Josh to talk about what's that, anime? You got my son into an anime cartoon. There's Naruto, maybe. Ask people to talk about what they love, and they get excited. Well, I'm excited to talk to you about Bible study. This is one of my passions. I love it. I love that aha moment when you discover something, when you learn something, whenever something hits your life or your heart more, and you see what you hadn't seen. You become something new often. And what I hope you see today is, even if you're just getting started, even if you're a white belt, maybe especially if you're a white belt, you can experience those moments of discovery in your Bible study. You can learn to see. But first, I want to, going back to those two words, dig deeper, I want to start with that word deep and define it. What is deep when we talk about Bible study? What do we mean when we say deep? And I think sometimes we can start to think that something deep needs to be murky and complicated and unclear. But deep doesn't have to mean unclear. You could look into a mud puddle that's 6 inches deep and not see the bottom. Or you can go to the ocean and look down crystal clear water and see 30 feet, maybe more, down to the bottom. When we lived in Kauai, I fell in love with snorkeling. Snorkeling is, I don't know how to scuba dive, but snorkeling is so fun, it's easy. And you get out there, and it's like you put your face under the water, and a whole new world opens to you. And you look down through this beautiful aqua blue water and see way down to the coral, and you'd see little eels shooting in, and red and orange and yellow fish, and sea turtles. They have these giant blue fish, almost as big as a person, that you would see sometimes. It's kind of weird seeing them go around. My kids' favorite fish for me to talk about, they'll say, hey, Dad, say the state fish of Hawaii 5 times fast, because we had to learn it in school over there. Humu humu nuku nuku apua. Humu humu nuku nuku apua. So you can see those, and you can see all kinds of cool stuff down in the coral, and as you're watching, it's like everywhere you look, there's a wonder. There's a treasure. There's things to see. Oh, look over there. Oh, check that out. And it's precisely because it's both deep and clear that you can see the treasures of the ocean that way. The other day, I was talking to my sister, who hadn't been over there, and she and her husband went, and she doesn't love water. She's not real comfortable with it, so she wasn't sure whether to go snorkeling or not. But they started in the shallows, and slowly, as she put her face down there, and she's looking, she saw something. And she saw something else. And then something else, and pretty soon, she was out in the deep, and able to take in all of these treasures. And that intimidation starts to become discovery and the wonder and joy of learning. Because the more you see, the more you want to see. That is Bible study. Right, Michael? That is what this looks like. I'm looking at a bunch of people who have discovered this already, I know, because I talk to you guys all the time about how we're finding new things. Every morning, my wife, I bring her her coffee, and she brings me whatever insight she's discovered that morning in her Bible study. She gets the morning, I take the kids in the morning, and she is in the Word, and it's, oh, whenever God said, it is good in Genesis 1, here's what that means. But then when he said it wasn't good for man to be alone, I discovered that it brings this insight, you know, all these different ideas that start to show up. And it's not just abstract ideas. It's stuff that starts to affect the way you see the world and the way you live in the world. What we want is to see. And so let me give you a simple prayer that captures what we want to accomplish in Bible study. Psalm 119, which is the greatest ode to Bible study in the world. Read that whole psalm. But Psalm 119, verse 18 says, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Open my eyes. See, there are wonders here. Ooh, there's one. Ooh, there's something. There's wonders everywhere, and you can learn to see them. And so we're praying, let me see clearly. And I love this three-word prayer as a way to enter into Bible study. And this is a little strategic first tip. I'm going to give strategies and ideas throughout. And here's the first one. Pray for insight before, during, after your study. Pray the whole time. And these three words can get you going tomorrow, today, Tuesday, Wednesday. Open my eyes. Can you see yourself saying that as you open your Bible? Open my eyes. And I want you to notice what he's not praying for. He's not asking for more information. He's asking for more insight, more understanding. Not reveal new things to me, but help me to get what you've revealed. Help me to see it, to have those, oh, I thought I understood the love of Christ, but this brought me even deeper into the love of Christ. Oh, I thought I knew all that there was to know about the Lord's Supper, but now I'm a little more ready to partake this week than I was last week. This is like a mature disciple's white belt prayer, right? I want to see whatever is true in your instruction, your law, your Torah, that I may behold wondrous, wondrous things. So the Bible tells you how to treat it. It says to treat it like treasure. Seek it, search for it like a treasure hunter or a miner digging for gold and silver. So let's open our Bibles to the passage that we just read. Tommy read for us here, Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. And I want to do something that we want to do often. Read it again. It's your second strategy. Keep reading it. So whenever I was a preacher, I was in a training program in Kentucky when I was 18. The teacher had us read every book we were studying out loud 9 times. I don't know why 9, but that was the magic number. And it's amazing. You're going through the minor prophets and you're reading Zechariah over and over and over again, and different things start to jump out at you, and you notice things and you see, oh, how did I not see that in reading number 7? It's not like I'm just oriented to this, but you see more and more. And so you spend time reading more of the word. So the greater your attention, the greater your reward in studying, which is kind of what this passage is about. So as I read this again, we'll just go through verse 6 right now. But as I read Proverbs 2, 1 to 6 with you, notice the verbs, notice the action words, and I'll try to emphasize them as we read, which is also another strategy, emphasizing different things. We'll come back to that. Verse 1, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments within you, receive, treasure, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. I love that, raise your voice. We use that as like a bad thing sometimes. Well, you don't have to raise your voice. Well, for understanding, raise your voice. Lord, give it to me. I want understanding and insight. I want it so desperately. It's a heart longing for it because it matters. Verse 4, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So just notice some of the things that's here in this passage. The worth of what we can expect to find is the first thing you notice, but also the strategy, the goal, our confidence, and the source are all here in those first six verses. Do you see how precious this is? The expectation of finding something worthwhile every time we look to his word feeds our strategy. When I've been asked at times by teenagers or different people, hey, what should I do to get started differently in my Bible study? This is one of the things I always bring up is expect to find something amazing. Because you will. See, our expectation defines sometimes what we find. If you expect a comforting cliche or a moral platitude, you start barely looking in the Word. That's not what this book is. Whenever you start to look and see the wisdom that guides you rightly through the hardest moments you'll have tomorrow, then you see, oh, there might be something I need here. Whenever you start to see, my marriage needs what I can find in this book. My prayer life needs what I can find in this book. The trials I face will be so much harder, and I'll take so many more wrong turns if I don't get what I find here. I'll be looking at the world differently. I'll be looking at so many things wrongly if I don't understand. So I dive in finding treasures, looking for insight. So I was thinking of Dave and Cindy. I was thinking of you guys as I was just thinking about looking at treasures. And another way of thinking about it, besides snorkeling, is a scenic drive through the redwoods, right? And whenever you're driving through the redwoods and looking around, it's probably a lot different than when you're driving home on Friday, right? There's nothing really to see. You've seen this a million times. You barely even notice. But whenever you know there are treasures here, you're looking around. I'm here for the very purpose of noticing these wonders. And so you notice them and you see them more and more clearly. Bible study is more like that, more like hiking the Grand Canyon than like walking through your living room. You're looking around, you're snorkeling in Kauai, you're driving through the redwoods, you're seeing that there is a wonder on every page. There is guidance and insight and understanding everywhere. So expect that. Expect it. Anticipate it. Be curious, be longing, be on the edge of your seat when you open the Bible. That's the point. Seek it like treasure. I mean, the writer of Proverbs could not have expressed this more with more passion and zeal to get understanding. And that defines our strategy. Because it's full of treasure, we go, the word he uses is search. We go searching, and that's a word that often comes up to describe Bible study in the Bible. We'll see it in Ezra 7. We'll see it in Acts 17. All the tips and tricks in the world won't help you much if you don't have that zeal to search, to look for it this way. But what are you looking for? What's the goal? Well, in verse 3, again, we want to find insight and understanding that, you know, oh, I just found this. But there's a bigger goal than that. It's not just understanding. Verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And that word knowledge, it would include things about God, But it's a word that's bigger than that. It's about knowing God. It's about a relationship with God. We don't just want to know his law, we want to know the lawgiver. We don't just want to hear truths about him, like a fan reading about someone on the internet. We want to get to know this person like a father. We want to know God, and we want to walk with him. We want to be faithful in how we walk with him. And the source and the confidence are here too. Look, he says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. If you seek it, you will understand it. Does that bring back to mind a statement of Jesus? Yeah, I'm hearing it. Seek and you will find. It's a promise from our Lord. You'll find what you're looking for. I don't need to get a doctorate degree in theology. I can go to the Word. And how can I be so sure? Because of the source. The source is the Lord. It doesn't come from my incredible smarts. Look at it. For the Lord gives wisdom. Where does he give it? Does he download it into my brain? Do I take my Bible and hold it here? Is it cloud uplink, you know, and bring it down? No, that's not how it works. You don't catch it like by contact, like a virus. You listen to what he says. It says, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Does God the Father have a mouth? It's saying, from the things he has spoken, from what he says, you will gain these things. So what do? We listen to what he says. We read what he says. And he gives it. You see how that's relational? Sometimes in Proverbs, we gain wisdom from other people or from our experiences. But the real source, the true source that is at the heart of it all, the most important is what the Lord says. And we don't conquer these words. We receive them as a gift. He gives it. And that's why we started with prayer, right? James says, ask, if anybody lacks wisdom, ask the Lord and he'll give it to you, right? But here, Proverbs says, we get it from his words. So which is it? Do I pray for it or do I read it? That's called a false dichotomy, right? It's both together. It's both together. We ask him for it. And we know that he has given words to guide us. And so we pray and we read. We receive from him. This isn't an isolated intellectual exercise, nor is it a passive experience. We are engaging in a walk with God through his word. And I think this is really important. I can remember some text conversations I've had with Christians where they were caught up in anxiety and fear around the word, around their study, around their relationship with the Bible, where they, it almost like the word was coming between them and God instead of connecting them to him. You know, what if I get it wrong? What if I don't understand something right? You are right where God wants you when you humbly place yourself under his words. Knowing that you don't understand everything. Let's just get that out there right now. You do not, I do not understand everything. But I want to be taught. And that is where the Lord wants me. He is the source. He is the source, not like a dispenser of knowledge. He is the source as a father. My son, come. Or as a friend and teacher in Jesus, as we'll see. Come and learn of me. So how do I dig? How do I get more into this word? Well, we want to dig in. And digging in means going deeper and closer to the text. Get right up, zoomed in on it. Look at the chapter and look at the verse and look at the words. Study the words. Look at a person and notice who are they and follow them. Take on a topic. Take on an issue. What does God think about Israel today? What does God think about marriage? What does God think about whatever issue that you're thinking about? What is my hope for the future? What will happen when Jesus comes? What does God think about homosexuality? What does God think about any topic? You get in the Word and see, does God have a word on this? And what does he say? And I want that word to shape me. But we don't just want to zoom in on the cross-references and the topics and the issues and the verses. We want to zoom out and look bigger. And this is a really important strategy that I think a lot of white belts can miss. The deeper study often is about getting the bigger picture and not the microscopic picture. You need both. And so if I were to give you the most important fundamental unit to study the Bible around, it would be books of the Bible. Not verses, not chapters, not topics. Books of the Bible. Not the whole book. Take one book. Take the book of Proverbs. Take the book of 2 Corinthians. That's how Paul wrote it. It is one literary unit. His version didn't have chapters and verses. I love chapters and verses. They weren't in the original. But 2 Corinthians, as it's designed by the inspired writer, is. You look at the book of Genesis, and that is a whole as Moses designed it. And it has within it divisions that he built in. And you can watch, and the sons of, or the generations of, and then the generations of this. And, it starts with the generations of the heavens and the earth in chapter 2, verse 1. And then the generations of the sons of Adam, and then the generations of Noah. And it keeps going down from there. That's how the inspired book was organized. And so you start looking for structure. You notice that Genesis is a different genre than 2 Corinthians, and so I have to treat it differently. And if you think about it just very broadly, the three biggest ones are thinking of how you read a story different than you read poetry, different than you hear a sermon or read an article or discourse. Well, the epistles of Paul and Peter and others are discourses. Genesis is a narrative. And then we have a lot of poetry, Psalms and Proverbs. And there's others within that. There's law code, and there's different other kinds of things, like these Proverbs we're looking at. But your strategy for reading has to be defined by what the goal of the writer was. The only thing that's authoritative is the intentional communication of an inspired writer through the Holy Spirit. That is what we're trying to get to. If you invent some interpretation based on something, that has no authority. What we're trying to get to is, what is the original meaning? What are the writer's goals for the original audience? And then we start to bring it back to us. What is the writer's world? We need to understand that insofar as it applies directly. What is the writer's argument? The Bible's always making a case for something. Even narrative is making an argument. What is the argument? Once you understand the argument, then you can follow what the conclusions you should draw from it. Does that make sense? So we're trying to look tiny and look big picture. And you want to look for trailheads to follow a trail. So I talked about how I don't know is a really important and valuable place to start. Whenever you find an I don't know, then that's maybe a good thing to note and think, maybe I should know this. Now, it's also okay to put some things you don't know on the back burner. Let it simmer for a while. This is one of my favorite strategies. When I'm cooking up something about Bible study or some other topic, there might be something I don't know yet. And so I just push it back to the back burner, and I don't forget about it. I just think, okay, I'm not 100% sure about this aspect of the Holy Spirit's work yet. I'm trying to understand it better. And so I'll stir it from time to time, maybe taste it, maybe ask somebody else, hey, could you give this a taste? Have you found something? What does this need? I'm not saying I never will understand it, but I don't want to force it either. I'm trying to get there. Now, there are some things, Deuteronomy 29:29 says, many things that we will never know. The things that are revealed belong to men and the sons of men, but the hidden things belong to God. And then there are so many things that are just clear. You read them and you trust them. But when you find those things that you're not sure about, you can study them. And if you don't find the conclusion, you can say, okay, I'm going to keep working this and mature and grow. And eventually, this is what I've found almost always. I settle in as the answer becomes clearer through repeated study and meditation and dialogue with faithful people and prayer. Okay, so a few places to start. The most notable is ask lots of questions. Whenever this question first came in, I showed it to the elders, and Ralph immediately said, send it to me, and I'll give them a bunch of questions. And I just think that's noteworthy to notice an experienced Bible student thought first place to go to get deeper is questions, right? Ask questions of the text. Ask questions of yourself. Am I thinking of this the right way? Here are some trailheads. You know, a trailhead is the beginning of a trail. You're going to follow trails. There's different trails you can go through to do different things in Bible study. Bible study has all different trails you might follow. So I want to encourage you to either, if you're a digital person, have a notes file. I like to do that. Or have a notebook. I do both. That you write down any question that comes up. I bring something up in a sermon. What does that mean? Write it down. Make a note file. Highlight it in your Bible. If you're a Bible marker, which is it's a good thing to do, have a Bible that you can write. Write it. Whenever you think of a question, write it down, whenever it is. When you think of a topic you want to study, maybe look around and see, is there some area where you have confusion or a concern? You know, I'm really struggling with temptation on this. I think I'll study that. Is there a book or a topic that you don't know? I keep a running list of my less familiar books or even sections of a book. Like, I know the beginning of Acts, but I don't know the last half of Acts as well as I know the beginning. I think I need to go and study that more. Here's pro tip. Here's something I do, and this is the first thing that Lisa said to me and one of the things that Adrian said to me too. If you want to get deeper into Bible study, sign up to teach a class. It will force you into deeper Bible study, whether it's a kid's class or an adult class or a young adult or co-teaching with someone, you will get into it because you need commitment and time set aside in order to grow in your Bible study. I also gave you guys some more trailheads in the bulletin article. So there's three on the bottom two-thirds of the sheet. It says, choose a treasure hunt. And the first is the trail of Peter. And this is where you're going to learn to follow a person through Scripture. And I gave some prompts there. The second one is the mountain map. And this is where you're going to learn to follow an image through Scripture. And the third one is track the scarlet thread. And this is where you're going to learn to follow a theme, the theme of sacrifice through Scripture. And what we're doing is trying to step back again and see how these things all connect. And I also put a little note here, my study buddy, and you can write it down. And I really encourage you to pick somebody. Pick one of these trails and say, okay, Carly, you and me, you know, we're going to take on the trail of Peter, and you and Sarah now have a partnership that you're going to dive into, right? And so that's another way to get started that I put out there. So a million places to get started, but notice the power of questions as we look at these examples. And so we'll close up by just looking at a few different examples. And I want to start with Exodus 7:10 and Nehemiah 8. And Exodus 7:10, a strategy to consider. Write out the verse you're studying. For, it starts out, Ezra 7:10. I think I know it, but it's bad Bible study habits if I don't actually get it right. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, if you want to open this with me. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord. But not just to study, what else? To study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach it, to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. Now I can find at least 10 trailheads right here in this one verse as I'm trying to understand how to study the Bible better. I'm going to start with this word. Remember the recent lesson, I said these little prepositions are important. For. When you see therefore or because of or something like that, that's going to bring me to the context. Why is it for? But then I go into a whole character study for Ezra. Who is Ezra? Why is he so important? Why does he know the law? Why is he so dedicated? How is he going to be playing into God's story? And then I want to notice that before he studied, he set his heart. Have I set my heart to study? Have I purposed this? What does that mean? To study. And here I might go into some language resources. And I actually have looked this up before. And this word means to search. We've been seeing that, haven't we? And Leah, thank you very much for grabbing some of our stuff from the library, which is right up here, which is for all our members to check stuff out of. But Leah brought a bunch of resources, like word study resources, and put them out on that red table out there in the foyer. You can look at, you can check them out. Study the law of the Lord. Law, I also might look up and find that this is Torah, this is instruction. I might also notice that Lord is all caps. What does that mean? I'll let you look that up. Lord is all caps. What does it mean whenever Lord is four letters, all caps? And to do it and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. So what's the difference between a statute and a rule and a law? I might look that up. But notice the order. Why this order? Set his heart, study and search, do and teach. So I might think about that and think about, do I get that order right? Do I teach before I have studied? Am I doing it before I start teaching? Is my goal constantly to set my heart before I study and then to apply? Do you see how we're, I'm trying to give examples here. You see how we're breaking it down just by taking one sentence and just parsing it down, asking questions of the text. Now, what's it look like whenever he teaches? He set out to teach? Well, that's in Nehemiah 8. And I just want to note three things here. In verse 2, everybody in the congregation stood up all day long as he read the Hebrew text of the law. It takes time to study. And they held this in reverence. In verses 5 and 6, they stood and they worshiped. And in verses 7 and 8, Ezra and others gave the sense. They taught the word to them. They read it, and then they gave what it meant. It is okay not to know everything. When you do, see that you need somebody who actually understands the sense of this word. Go and get a resource. That's what those people did. They asked an expert in Hebrew, Ezra. We have books. We have other resources. We have one another to help each other. And we read the word in community. That's what God's people have always done. And we see that same thing happening in Acts 8 and Acts 17. Acts 8, as the eunuch is reading by himself. He's got the scroll of Isaiah, and he's searching through it, and he's thinking about it, and he's pondering it. It takes time, but it's not just alone time. Somebody comes up beside him, Philip, and he's asking questions. He says, who is this, about himself or someone else? Famous passage in chapter 17, verse 11, the Bereans are searching the scriptures to see if these things are so. Notice that they are listening to someone who is challenging everything they know. Right? I mean, he believes in God, the true God, and he believes in the scriptures, but he's saying that the Messiah has come and he had to die and he rose again, and where did this come from? And they listened. And sometimes this is the most helpful thing you can do, is hear out an opposing perspective. But they didn't just say, oh, that sounds good, I'll buy that. They listened eagerly to a different perspective that challenged their assumptions. If you're not doing that regularly, then you can get stuck. But then they said, I gotta see it for myself. Is that really what the Bible means? Because what Paul is saying, I mean, he was an apostle, but they want to see it in the word. They don't know that he's authoritative. What Paul is saying, I'm not going to trust. I'm going to trust what the word says. And so that's what they were checking. They searched the scriptures. They asked questions of the text. And then the last story is from Luke 22. And man, I love this. I love this story. It's one of my favorite stories in the whole Bible. After Jesus dies, two men are walking on the road to Emmaus. And, you know, two guys, what are they talking about? They're talking about the headlines in Jerusalem. Here's what's been happening. And they're talking about how Jesus has died, has been crucified, and how he was a prophet, a mighty prophet, that they thought was going to bring new hope to Israel and be the Messiah. But then he was crucified, and now some people, among them, some of their close friends, had seen an empty tomb. And Jesus walks up next to him. Only they don't know it's Jesus. They don't recognize him. Just imagine. Talk about the ultimate Bible class. They're walking with Jesus. And he says, what are you guys talking about? And they explain all of that. And are you the only person in Jerusalem that doesn't know all the stuff that's happening? And Jesus says to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses, verse 27, and all the prophets, you see that? Not a Bible verse study, a whole Bible study. Beginning with Moses, that's the first five books, and all the prophets, that's everything else. He interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. That tells you more than just the importance of zooming out. It tells you what you're going to find if you're looking rightly when you zoom out. You're going to find the story of Jesus. That's what all the Old Testament is about. That is what all the New Testament is about. He walked them book by book through the Bible. Whether we're studying Leviticus or the book of Revelation or anywhere else, we're going to see Jesus if we're looking at it correctly. And that's the point. There's something else here. He opened their eyes as he opened the scriptures. Look at verses 30 and 31. It says that they didn't recognize him, but then after he has opened the scriptures to them, he sits down, he breaks the bread, and he prays for it. And then their eyes are open, and they see the Lord. It's Jesus! And then he disappears. This is our prayer. Open my eyes. Open my eyes not just to see the big picture story that Jesus unpacked for them, but to see the Lord himself. We can be walking Bible encyclopedias, and if we don't know him, we don't really know much. Getting deeper is ultimately about getting closer, walking closer with the Lord every day. Measure your Bible study and its depth in faithfulness, not in factoids and information that you collect. And I pray that you find strength and wisdom and insight and God's presence in your study as you dig into the Word. Starting now, always. And then just notice this response they said. After he's gone and they're talking to each other, it resonates so deeply with their experience, and I hope this is what you find in your Bible study. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" I pray that as you study the scriptures, it fills you with passion for Christ. The Lord opened the scriptures to them. Not miraculously. It wasn't something that he could have done that, I guess, but he didn't do that. He opened the scriptures to them and lit a fire in their hearts by explaining what the Bible means, by quoting scripture and explaining it. Psalm 119, 130 says, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple." Scriptures open like a window to a whole new world, a whole new way of seeing, because the Lord taught them. You know, the Lord teaches us. That's the idea. That's what the church is. Isaiah 2 says, we all say, "Come to the mountain that the Lord may teach us." And then what do? They went and told their friends. They set their hearts. They heard the word. They did it. They taught it. This is Bible study. And I hope that the Lord, in his word, shows you who he is and you follow him always. And if we can help you follow him more closely, we invite you to come now while we stand and sing.